It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
FM 104's Select Irish with Louise Tai.
FM 104's Select Irish, and every week we chat to an artist about the first gig they ever went to. This week I'm joined by Niamh Regan. Hello.
Hi there, how are you?
Good, thank you so much for chatting to us. So tell me, what was the first gig you ever went to?
The first gig I ever went to that I can remember fully myself was a Martin Hayes gig in Loughrea Hotel, which is the town that I like went to school and all that jazz. It was probably the first gig that I really took in, and I was with Dennis Cahill, and I was blown away. And at that time I was really into traditional music myself, so that was my first gig, and it was a great start, I guess, to a long life of loving music and going to gigs.
Had you started music yourself at that point?
Yeah, like every kid in Ireland, I was playing the tin whistle, you know, from like five onwards. And was really mad into traditional music and piano and flute. And yeah. And then I guess the following gig that kind of left a lasting impression was Bob Dylan in Pier Stadium.
Nice.
And like I grew up listening to Blood on the Tracks, you know, that album.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a key moment as well. I think I must have been around 11 or 10. Time, so I don't remember all of it, but I remember still being blown away by the big crowds and all that jazz.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, was there anything in particular that kind of stuck with you from the night?
Well, I think at that age, everything's kind of big, like everything's
well,
new, you know,
huge
a big stadium gig.
Yeah.
I remember actually being like, oh, I don't actually recognize a lot of these songs. It was only like one or two. And when I did recognize them, I never felt such like happiness. So that was kind of a funny thing.
Being included in it. I suppose that's what the joy of music really, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
What was your own first gig that you played?
Oh, God. I played a few different ones under different band names and messing around until around 20. Mm-hmm. And then I think I did a solo gig under my own name. I think it was in the Crane Bar upstairs, and I was like, it wasn't a very big crowd, but I do remember a lot of my friends from college came to it before going out, and they were all really dressed up for a night out, which is not necessarily the Crane Bar style. So it was a weird kind of atmosphere I created. It was like some family members and friends who were ready to go out clubbing, listening to a very dowdy singer-songwriter who was just starting out. So, yeah.
Do you remember the feeling from that night?
I feel like I was very nervous in general starting out gigging. I loved doing it, but I was always nervous. Mm-hmm. And it was only by the end of the gig that I'd really be like, oh, wow, I love doing this, you know. But the first half was always like, oh. But now that's kind of gone. I still get nervous, of course, but it's definitely, I'm really glad I stuck through it. Do you know that like awkward phase?
And really, I think as they say, it's good to have a bit of nerves, I think.
Absolutely. I think it shows you care about the show you're going to put on or the music you're going to play, and like appreciating people have taken time out to see you or listen to you. Like, you know, I think as I get older, I don't take that lightly. I think it's a really important thing to acknowledge.
And back in 2020, you released your debut album, Hemet. It was nominated for Choice and Folk Awards. Now you're approaching the second album. How did that, or did you approach it differently to the first?
I absolutely did approach it differently, in the sense I had all this self-inflicted pressure, self-imposed pressure, which is, I think, fairly common for the second album. I just really wanted to do the best job I could do, and I wanted to do it quickly. But I realized, you know, 2 years in, I still wasn't writing stuff that I felt proud of. So it actually took roughly 4 years to get the material together for this one. So it was a long, arduous process. And, you know, I was writing lyrics a lot more before the music, which was a first for me. And I was working with a new producer as well, Tommy McLaughlin, who, you know, I've been a big fan of his work for a long time, be it on Soak, Villagers, Pillow Queens, Alvaretti. And it was kind of, I suppose, a different venture to go a little bit more full band sound instead of that folk approach that I did for the first album.
So Come As You Are is coming out on the 31st of May. It has 11 tracks. How will release day look for you?
Oh God, it'll probably be in a, I'll just be so worried about it, making sure that I wish I could be cool, calm and collected, but it stresses me out, the releases, more than anything else. The day after is usually when I feel like I can breathe and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, take it
all in. It's out there now. There's nothing I can do. But I don't know what it's going to look like. And I think I don't know how this second album is going to fit in the world either. And I guess that's the excitement of it all. And as we said, it's good to be a little bit nervous, I suppose, as in it shows you care about what you're doing. So
it must be kind of exciting to see how people will take it, really.
I think it's definitely exciting and equally nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're human and you want people to connect with it. And, you know, ultimately you want people to like it, but only time will tell, you know. And all I know is I put in the best I could into it, and you know, either way, I learn something from it. But I do feel hopeful. So,
and you only just finished an Irish tour there a short time ago. Did they get to hear a glimpse of the new album?
Yeah, it was actually really fun playing them solo, which is totally different to how they're presented in the record. But I think it was really important to like air these songs. You know, I did play all of them, but to air them live and kind of get them practiced. And then in November, I'm going to do a full band tour. I don't know if that's the right way to put those words, but it's going to be ready and polished. So I'm excited for that. So,
and before the album comes out, we're going to get another new single as well, aren't we?
Yes. And it's called Music, which is a terrible name for a song, but it's all about music. So
it felt right.
Yeah. It felt right, and it's my favourite track on the album, so I'm excited for this release. Good. The other ones felt a bit more experimental for me, and this one seems a lot more like it's the kind of the groove of the album, I think.
Gorgeous. If people want to keep up to date with everything you're doing, where's the best place to go?
I guess Googling my name, Niamh Regan, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you find it. Easier where you browse, TikTok, all that crack. You'll find me there. Unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know.
We're all in the same boat. I get it. Niamh Regan, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thank you, Louise.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.